take your Bibles this morning. Thank you for being here. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians. We'll look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and being here this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. We'll read four verses and we'll let you be seated. I talk about growing this morning. Growing as Christians. Not the holidays. We grew during the holidays in other ways, all right? As Christians. By the way, serving God is great. It's exciting. The most exciting thing you can do is sell out to God and serve Him.
Amen.
Greatest thing you can do. You know, people want a certain type of life. We look at our life, it's like, you know, this is what I want. The problem is we try to find it the wrong way. We're following the wrong ingredients. If you don't have the right ingredients, then you're not going to get the desired outcome.
Right.
And I've talked before, and I won't tell, but early in our marriage, my wife made something one time for me that I like. Her mother made it, but when she made it, it didn't look the same. In fact, it looked completely different. Mother made these tortillas, and they were like spot on. I mean, it's like, you don't have to warm those things up. She makes them and sits them there. You can eat them the next day, and they are good. So, you know, Mrs. Newlywed's going to make them for her husband. And all I knew is that it took two glasses of milk to get one down.
Frisbee's
in there. Now, I didn't say anything, and I've never said anything to this day.
Yeah.
But it did not turn, it didn't look the same, it did taste the same, and she didn't realize it until she took a bite. But she came to find out when she called her mother that she forgot an ingredient. And it was obviously a key ingredient. But certain ingredients make a desired product. And so we try to get the kind of life we think we want. We try to get it in the wrong places, or we try to use the wrong ingredients. Most people think if they had all the money in the world, they'd be happy.
Come on.
That they would, their life would be fulfilled. By the way, most millionaires are not fulfilled.
Right.
You think if you have this, or I have the next this, or that, or the other. God gives ingredients. And so, serve God, grow as a Christian, it's an exciting thing. That's what we'll talk about this morning. Colossians chapter 2, let's look at verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you. Spoil means to capture. Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Again, let's pray right here. Father, thank you for loving us. Again, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that you would give us something. Encourage us to continue to go on in our faith, to grow in you, and to become everything that you want us to be, Lord, and have that life that you desire us to have that only comes through growth in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A little background here. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. He probably had never been there before. He probably had led the pastor to Christ that was there or had some type of involvement, and he had concern for them. You see that as you read through the verses preceding. There were many false ideas and concepts that could make its way into their church. And if these false ideas or concepts would get into the church, it would be a problem. It would hurt their beliefs. It would destroy their church. And so Paul here, Colossians, is trying to deal with some of that. He's trying to help them to get through this. Of course, one of the things that that Paul is responding to is a group called the Gnostics. The Gnostics that believed all flesh was evil. Of course, Jesus was flesh. He would therefore have been evil. Paul's trying to help them get through all of that. And that's why he talks much in Colossians about the preeminence of Christ. He is the preeminent one. By the way, Jesus is the preeminent one.
Amen.
Everything in our life is about Jesus Christ.
Amen,
okay? And so that's why we want to grow and get close to him, because he is important. And all glory and praise ought to go to Jesus Christ. It's funny, before I was a Christian, I didn't even like to use the name Jesus. I wasn't one of these, did have a foul mouth, but I wasn't one of these that took God's name in vain very often. I didn't try to do that. But there was just something about the name that I avoided.
Yeah.
I didn't want to use it. It was just foreign to me. But after I got saved, it was kind of like, you started using it, you know, Jesus. It's like, yeah, that fits now. Why? Because I was saved.
Yeah.
And I was serving him. Then I didn't know what to do, and I had my motorcycle, so I started getting Jesus stickers all over my motorcycle. Like,
yeah,
someone's going to know that I'm a Christian now, and it probably looked lame. And by the way, it looks lame when we put a bunch of stickers on our back of our cars. That's okay. If you want to do that, more power to you. But I did that too. But it's just like, that name, there was nothing wrong with that name.
Yeah.
And I wanted to use it. Yeah. And it's about Jesus. He is the preeminent one, and he ought to be the preeminent one in our life. So he did not want the church misunderstanding who Jesus was, degrading who Jesus was. He wanted him to have his proper place in their church and in their life. Now, in order to help them not to get caught up in all the nonsense or the false teaching that was coming their way, Paul is admonishing them here to grow in their faith. He wanted them to go forward. By the way, for all of us here, it's very important that we grow in our faith. There is so much nonsense in the world today that if we don't grow in our faith, it's going to seep into our lives and we won't even recognize it, and it's going to hinder us as Christians. But if we grow, that won't happen. God wants us to grow. Someone has said you can never stand still in the Christian life. You are either going to go forward or you are gradually going to slip backwards.
Amen.
There's no cruise control.
Yes, sir.
Okay? We all have this little, you know, we like cruise control along. It just puts us on one speed and we stay right at that speed. You can't cruise control the Christian life.
Right.
You are either advancing or you're declining. And God wants us to advance.
Amen.
He does not want us to decline. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Having therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." Now, he's not saying leave Christ. He's saying, look, those were the baby principles, the baby doctrines about Jesus Christ. Get that nailed down, and from there, go forward. He wants us to grow. Let us go on into perfection, maturity. We must realize that if we don't grow, we will open ourselves up to all kinds of wrong influences, wrong temptation, and spiritual attacks that will destroy our faith. A new person will come into a church, and they'll like the church, but they won't seek to grow in their faith. They'll just kind of show up and not really take it seriously. What's going to happen eventually, in a matter of time, if you're not growing, something is going to come, and you're not going to be able to combat it, and you're going to fall off, and you're going to go back. God wants us to grow. In the verses here, Paul gives us several ingredients that can help us to grow in our Christian faith. And I want to go through them quickly. I believe there's six or seven of them, and I want you to get them this morning. The first step he gives us, the first ingredient of real growth, is faith. Faith. Verse 6. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." How did we receive the Lord Jesus Christ? By faith. How are we supposed to walk? When you see the word walk, that's talking about how we live our life. So how are we supposed to live our life? The same way we started our life. By faith. That's the basics. By the way, the basics are important. If you don't get the basics down, you're not going to get anything else. Now, Hebrews admonished us, once we get the basics down, let's move forward in our faith, but you can't move forward until you have the basics. Probably the greatest basketball coach, at least in college, of all time, was John Wooden. John Wooden's team won, I believe, it was something like 10 championships in 12 years. And so, another coach wanted to learn from him, and they were starting their first practice of the year, and he talked to John Wooden and said, "Can I come observe one of your practices? I want to learn how this works." John Wooden said, "Sure, come on." First practice of the year, they go into the locker room. This coach is there. He's ready to learn. He's ready to take notes. The great John Gordon is going to teach him how to coach basketball. This guy said for the first hour of practice, John Wooden taught his players how to put their socks on.
Right.
For an hour. An hour. The new coach went up to him afterward and said, "What does that have to do with basketball?" And John Wooden said, "Let me explain a basic here. If their feet are uncomfortable and are hurting, they're not going to be able to play correctly." Guy walked away like, "Okay, I guess socks are important." Okay. What was the point there? The basics. The basics. The basic of the Christian life is faith. How do we grow in the Lord? We grow by faith. Now let me explain it. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, we received him by faith. Here's how you got saved. If you didn't do this, you didn't get saved. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you understand that we are sinners and we are on our way to hell and God hates sin and it's horrible. But we understand that Jesus Christ came and he was God in the flesh. He lived a perfect life. He died not for his sin. He had no sin. He willingly allowed himself to be killed, to die on the cross so that he could make our payments.
Right.
And what we do when we realize all that, and I'm going quick here. We put our 100% trust or faith in what he did.
Amen.
Now, we don't say this. We don't say, you know what? I'm trusting in Buddha, but I'm also going to trust in Jesus. No. It doesn't work that way. You can't say, "I'm going to trust in Jesus and I want Buddha too just to make sake," if you didn't trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
When you're trusting in Jesus, you're putting 100% in there and saying, "Jesus, I am not trusting in anything else."
Amen.
100% faith. You know how you grow in the Christian life? You know how you perform in the Christian life? You apply that same principle to the way you live. Once you're saved, you say, "Now I'm going to take my life and I'm going to put that same 100% trust in what he tells me to do. And I'm going to go 100% the way he tells me to do. And I'm not going to trust anything else."
Amen.
Most of us don't live that way. See, we'll trust Christ for salvation. When it comes to our life, it's like, "Well, wait a minute. I want the cafeteria style Christian life." What's a cafeteria style? Cafeteria is one of those places you go in, you get the little tray, and they got all these different types of food. And you walk in and say, "Okay," they usually have the desserts first. You ever notice that? By the way, those are important. Don't eat it first, but get it. And you go there and it's like, "Here's all the dessert. I want that one." Boom, boom, all right? What was the place over here? Arnold's. That was Arnold's. How many of you ever ate at Arnold's? Before we belly up. You missed it. It was a good play. I don't know why I died. But anyway. And you go there and I'm like, "That's what I want." It's like, "All right, what do you want for your entree?" "I'll take that." "Okay, you get three side orders. What side order do you want?" "I'll take corn and, of course, mashed potatoes with gravy."
Yeah.
Gravy makes everything better.
Yeah.
Say, "My car's not running real well. Put gravy in it. It'll run."
Okay.
Gravy. It's good stuff. And so, mashed potatoes and gravy. And then what kind of bread do you want? Do you want wheat? Do you want white? Well, it depends. How soon do you want to die? Just kidding. I'll take that bread. Cafeteria style. You choose what you want. We can't do that with the Bible.
Amen.
We can't do that with the Christian life. We have to take what he's chosen for us.
Amen.
And so it takes that 100% faith that we put in Christ for salvation, excluding everything else, and saying, "I'm going to put that same faith and go forward and do what God says." By the way, you say, "But I hear some things sometimes, and I read some things, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me." Me too. I used to hear preaching when I first went to church. It's like, "Huh? Really? That's in the? Are you serious?" That totally went against what I was doing. And it was in the Bible. Brother Black explained it, and I'm like, I got a decision to make.
Yep, there you go.
God says that's the way to go.
Yep.
It's like, "All right. Let me trust God because I'm going to live my life the same way I received my life, 100% trust."
There you go.
And I made a decision. By the way, I'm not talking about giving, but when a person starts giving and they start tithing, that takes faith.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I can live better in my budget by giving the church 10% of my income? Now, I'm going to just tell you right now, okay, that doesn't make a lick of sense. I'm just telling you. You want me to lie? Say, oh, that makes sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Okay. I don't have enough to pay my bills. I'm struggling here. I'm going to give 10% to the church. Can I just say something? Say, explain to me, Brother Myers, so I understand how that makes sense. I'll tie it. Can't do it.
Yeah.
It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Now no one's going to tie. Thanks. Okay. I'll tell you this though. It works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because it's a spiritual dynamic. It's a trust issue.
Right.
And I'm not speaking because I want the offerings to go up. Yes, I do. I see the budget now. Yeah, I do. But I'll tell you that I just found in my own life that when I give to God, He always takes care of us.
Amen.
He's done a pretty good job of it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm doing a good job. Thanks, God. You're doing okay. He's done a great job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? It's because if I can trust Him with my eternal destiny, I can trust Him with the way I live my life.
Amen.
By the way, I know, if you're new here, you say, I hear some things and I'm struggling with it. I struggle with it too. I don't struggle. God spoke to me this morning.
Well.
Okay? You know what? It's okay. Trust Him.
Amen.
By the way, in area of giving, He says, put me to the test.
Right.
And why don't you put, and then it says, when it comes to the rest of our life, didn't it say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
You see, that takes faith. Amen. Some people say, you know, I've tried this Christian life and it didn't work. Did you really try it or did you half-heartedly try it?
There you go.
Yeah. Did you do everything you were supposed to do or did you do some of the things that God asked you to do? And by the way, let me say that you're not going to get there overnight. Okay? It's a process. God will work with you.
Amen.
Don't look and say, hey, I'm supposed to be here and I'm down here. Don't worry about that. Just go the right direction.
Amen.
God will work with you. Don't worry about it.
Sure.
It takes faith. And I hope you have that faith to trust Him. We all need faith. We're like, here's what we're like when it comes to that. We struggle. There was a family that does the tightrope walking. The Walendas. Years ago, one of them put a string across the Niagara Falls. And that wasn't a string, it was a rope, or whatever it was, metal.
Yeah,
it was a string. They didn't go down to the depot, grab the depot, it was outside. They put that thing across there, and the guy walks across it. Everybody's like, hey, that's great, what a great guy, hey! So I will ride a bike. So he rides a bike across. The crowd is like, hey, that's great! And he got to the crowd and said, how many of you think that I can ride a bike across there with someone on the handlebar? And they all said, yeah! He said, okay, hop on. I said, not me. Okay? See, the face said, I know the guy can do it. Well, hop on, but not with me. Right? Isn't that how we feel sometimes with what God says? I know God will do it. I know it's going to happen. All right, let's do it. Oh, yeah. I'm just encouraging you. I'm not doing it. Takes faith. You meet something, you know it's the Bible, you know it's true, you're struggling with it, have faith. Give God 100% and do what He says. He talks about faith. Secondly, another greeting is rooting. Rooting. Look at the next verse. He says, rooted, verse 7, and built up in Him. What does rooted mean? Rooted is the roots are taking hold. They're growing down deep. They're getting down there. You see, let me say this about the Christian life. It's not outward. I'm not just going to do all these outward things and that makes me a Christian. The Christian life is inward. And as it grows inward, it will work outward. You understand that? It's not conforming. It's transforming. There's a difference. Not just doing something. It's being something.
Amen.
You see, I got all these things on the outside I need to deal with. Grow on the inside. Grow those roots, and the fruit will come. God will deal with those things.
Amen.
But it comes as you develop deep roots. Roots in any growth endeavor are important. Roots draw the nourishment that is needed. They supply the strength that is needed. That's why you look sometimes, you see someone on the outside, they look wonderful. But then all of a sudden, they do something completely crazy. What happened? The root system was messed up. Something started rotting on the inside. Okay? Don't just conform. Be transformed.
Amen.
We say, oh, don't be conformed to the world. I know. And don't just be conformed to Christianity.
Good.
Let it get on the inside. That's where the growth comes. Dig some roots. Don't be an emotional stuff. You know what? I tire of emotional Christians. I'm so excited about God. About it. And I love excitement, by the way. If it's rooted on the inside. If it's just some outward, hey, there's nothing on the inside. You can do a chub. You can dance. You can do the worm. I can care less. You ain't going to be here in a week. You know, someone will visit our church. And it's like, I love the church. I'm going to join. I'll be there. You never see them again. They came in and got caught up in the emotions. And by the way, if you're new, you can't choose a church based on 1 week. My wife told somebody, it's actually good advice. I probably should listen to her more often. Then someone said, you know, we're looking for a church, we're going to try it out. My wife said, here's what you need to do. You need to come for at least a month to really find out what the church is about.
Yeah.
Now, she should have said, you should tithe too. Just kidding. That's good advice.
Yes.
We spring so quickly and we don't develop downward, and something comes and we're gone. Grow your roots. Roots are important. You need to grow deep. We look at somebody that does something. I remember what happened in Colorado. I think it was 2012. That man went in there. I think they were showing some movie, and a man went into the movie theater, and he just started shooting people. I think he killed 10 or 11 people, injured about 50 or 60 others. You know, what do the police do, or what do people do, the media do right away? They want to dig into his life to see what would cause him to do that. You know what they're saying? What were his roots? What was wrong? Where did it go wrong? And that's how it is the Christian life. You're not rooted. Things go wrong. Root yourself in Christ. Okay? Work on the inside. The outside will take care of itself. Rooted. We're losing time here. We must hasten. Also, we need to be built up. He says, rooted and built up in Him. Now, after the rooting system is strong and we have a strong foundation, now God can build upon that foundation. But if we try to build something without a foundation, what's going to happen? You got something that will not last. But we do need to be built up. The picture here is like a building, as I mentioned. Who is our foundation? Well, He said it. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, it's in faith, but it's in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You've got to have the proper foundation. And our foundation as Christians is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now how do we get built up? We get built up through His Word.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 7, you know the story about the men that build their house. One built their house upon a rock, a proper foundation. Another built their house upon a sand, an improper foundation. And what happened? The house built on the sand, when the storm came, wham, down it went. But the man that built his house upon a rock, when the storm came, it was okay. You get inside, your house is built on that rock, you'll make it. And He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Amen.
What are you building? Are you being built? Get the root system. Have faith to trust God. Dig your roots deep, and now start growing in the Word of God. Not just hearing it, but applying it. Talked about it Thursday night. Hearing it does you no good. Many of you, everybody, you know, Sunday morning church, we all look good. Okay, well, some of us look better than others. Well, that's not a different one. You did the best you could. Alright? But I hope that it's pretty obvious in here. Some of you at least went by a mirror this morning. Okay? Now, for some people, that can be discouraging. Amen, Robert? By the way, people spend way too much time on their hair. Just look in the mirror and say, bingo! Let's go. Okay? But, you know, you looked in the mirror and said, okay, this needs to be fixed, and that needs to be fixed, and you fixed it. That's what the Bible is. You hear the Bible and it says, hey, buddy, fix this in your life. Let's fix this in your life. Let's learn. Let's do this. And you do what it says. Don't be free. We wouldn't walk out and say, ah, you know. So I mentioned on Thursday, one pastor calls the doors that lead outside of the church. He calls them erasers. Another pastor said, why do you call them erasers? He said, because as soon as the church service is over, the people walk to the door, that door erases everything they heard in the service. Okay? We don't want to have a rain cap. Well, that's okay. Once for much is important too. Don't forget. So we need to build up with the Word of God. We've talked much about this year, and I hope that you're growing. And then next, we become established. And established in the faith, as you have been taught. What does that mean? Now it becomes a part of our life. It's who we are. We're not fly by night. Okay? We're not, you know, when you're new, everything's kind of here and there, and you're kind of taking it all in, you're trying to get it. Now you get to the part where it's like, this is who we are. I'm growing in my faith. I've got my roots down. God's building me up in the Word of God, and now I'm established. See, too many people are unstable. We don't want to be unstable. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, when we're unstable, we can't just gut up and say, this is what I'm going to be, this is who I'm going to be. Everything in life is up for grabs. And when everything for life is up for grabs, you're going to make bad decisions. We need to be like Daniel when he went to Babylon. He knew he was going to be faced with some tough times. He knew he was going to be faced with some tough choices because here he was taken away in exile to a country that was anti-God, but the Bible says he was established. He purposed in his heart. He decided a long time before he ever faced some bad decision. He had already established in his heart, I'm going to make the right decision. Wasn't open for debate. It's a decision. Established. There are so many things we need to establish our life in. Established. What we like to do is, some areas will establish, other areas are open for debate. It all goes back to the faith thing. I heard a story about, there was a czar in Russia in the early 1500s. His name was Ivan the Great. Ivan the Great was a tremendous warrior, fought many battles, actually expanded their kingdom. Great warrior. He had little time for anything else. His warriors loved him. He was very beloved in his country, but they realized he was not married. And they were afraid that he would die and he would not have an heir to the throne. So his leaders pulled him together and said, listen, we love you. You gotta get married. He's like, well, okay, find somebody. So they went to the king of Greece and they found his daughter. She was obviously up to par, up to code. And the king of Greece was all for it because, you know, they would do these political marriages. It would help his kingdom and it would help their kingdom. So he was all for it. He said, let's do it. They came back and talked to Ivan and said, she's on. She's good. Okay? You know, usually say, oh, she's spiritual. You know what that means? Run. But he says, she's fine. He's like, all right, let's. He goes, I'll do it. Thanks for catching that. That was a little bit late. So, now there was one stipulation. The king of Greece said he has to be part of our Orthodox Church. Now, she must have really looked good. He said, I'm in. I'll do it. And so they sent this priest to talk to him and to give him his indoctrination so he could be baptized into their church. So he and 500 of his warriors go to Greece to be baptized into the church. The warriors, by the way, said, we're in. If you're going to do it, we're going to do it too. So they're giving a little class. The mode of baptism in that church was immersion, just like we do. When the guy showed up, the priest was mortified. He said, time out. We cannot baptize warriors. They're like, what? You're killing the deal. He said, sorry, we can't baptize warriors. So they came to a compromise, and here was the compromise. As they baptized each guy, he held his arm with the sword out of the water. Everything got baptized with the sword. Okay, and said, all right, we'll get 90% of you. The warrior part didn't get baptized. You can still kill people, amen? You know, that's how many of us are in our commitment to God. We'll establish in this area, but the sword's up. I'm not giving you that area. That one's mine. If God speaks to you about an area, just give it to him.
Amen.
Establish yourself. Say, I'm not going to be half-hearted. This is what I want to be. Become established. We must hasten. We're really behind. The next thing is abounding. He says, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. Let me explain something to you. When you live that kind of life, the blessings abound. We abound with thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? I'm stopping and I'm thanking God, realizing everything he's doing for me. The blessed life is a Christian life.
Amen.
And it's true blessings. It's not something that's temporal. It's not something that's there for a little while. And it's God. Thanksgiving. By the way, we can all be thankful to God.
Amen.
See, if we're not thankful to God, we're not stopping to think and realize, what has God done in our life?
Right.
The man that wrote the book, how many remember that when I was a, oh, that was a kid that was at the series on television, Roots, how many remember that? About slavery. Will we ever rewatch that? The man that wrote that book, someone went into his office to talk to him at one time. He had a picture. And it was a picture of a fence post, and at the top of the fence post was a turtle. And the guy would interview him and said, what is that all about? He goes, that's a reminder to me. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, whenever I start to believe that I'm really good and that I've accomplished things, he goes, I just look at that picture and it reminds me that that turtle didn't get up there all by himself.
Come on,
you see, God has done things in our life we don't realize it.
Yeah.
And by the way, the more we grow, the more we realize what God has done, the more we're going to be thankful.
Yeah.
Abounding. You'll have more things to be thankful for than you'd ever realized.
Yeah.
I mentioned many times our family are using this little devotional book thing, not devotional book, but thing where we write things down. But it asks us every day to write down several blessings. What are you thankful to God for today? Your feet? There you go. Yeah. But it causes us to stop and think, hey, what can I be thankful about today? It's everything.
Yeah.
There are so many things to be thankful for.
Amen.
But abounding. The next thing is this. And I'm really hurrying, I'm sorry. Discerning. If we're going to grow, we need to be discerning. He said, beware lest any man spoil you. And he mentions things, philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, rudiments of the world, not after Christ. We're not going to go through all those. What does it mean to be discerning? Beware. You see, as you grow and you start to learn and grow in your faith, you're going to have a discernment level. You'll be able to notice things that are false. And you need to beware because they're always trying to creep into your life. Maybe it's something that if you become involved with, it can be detrimental to yourself. It can be detrimental to your family. It can be detrimental to your Christian life. Whatever it is. You see, when you're new and you don't know the Bible as well, these things are pretty easy to slip by us. But as we learn the scripture, and as we're with God's people, we're growing. We start understanding these things. And when something comes, we know, hey, that's false. Hey, that's hurtful. That's something I need to be careful of. Discernment. Now, I know we all just want to love Jesus and all that, but there are things that are harmful out there.
Absolutely.
And we better learn them or else we're going to get messed up. Beware. The last thing is this. What is the result of all this? The last verse, verse 9. And ye are complete in him. You'll have everything you need. You see, God has given us everything we need to be the Christian he wants us to be and to have the life he wants us to have and to do the things he wants us to do. It's all there. And if we are incomplete, it's because we're not taking the time to be instructed and to know what we're supposed to have. I used to work, years ago, I worked at Solo Cup and I was, they had these machines that would wax the cups. And so I was a maintenance mechanic. It was minor work, you know. You had five machines. You kept them clean. If small things happened, you fixed them. Well, the major thing in there, they had this big braking pad system in there. And they would wear out periodically. And then what you would have to do is you'd get the mechanic. And the mechanic would come and fix them. And so after this happening for a while, I watched the mechanic do it a few times. I don't think I was supposed to, but I saw him do it. You know, I thought, I can do this. I'm not going to bother the guy. What a waste. So I went to the mechanic's room, I got the parts, I got the tools, And it was funny, after I got everything in, I had extra parts. And I had to go to the mechanic. I said, hey, can you come help me over here for a minute? We have an issue. And he came over there and he opened it up and he goes, did you try to do this? I'm like, no, it's a lady that runs a machine. She did it. It was not complete. Why? Because it wasn't my job and I didn't have an instruction manual. We have all the pieces we need. God's given us everything you need. And he wants us to be complete in Christ.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a decision to grow and to be what God wants us to be. Let's pray.